Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. The Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand
until I make your enemies your footstool."
The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter.
Rule in the midst of your enemies.
Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments.
From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours.
The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind.
You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Thank you.
And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger.
Thank you.
may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. It has all the makings of a tragedy, doesn't it? If you look at it from a certain perspective, we've got a young woman, not married. She finds herself unexpectedly pregnant. Her fiancé is less than enthusiastic about the baby because he knows that he's not the father. But God bless him. He does come around in the end. They don't have much, but at least they have each other. And then when she's really, really pregnant, like ready to have that baby, they're forced to make a long journey because of a government-mandated census. Caesar doesn't care how pregnant she is. He just wants his taxes. Her labor starts while they're away from home. They don't even have a place to stay. A kind soul has pity on them and puts them up in the only space he's got left. A barn. A good place for farm animals, but not exactly a place for people, especially for a mother in labor with her newborn babe. And yet, the child comes. No stopping that. He comes right there and right then, right in that barn. And she wraps this firstborn son of hers in whatever scraps of cloth she can find and lays him in a feed trough. How's that for a start to life? No golden spoon for this one. It's full of squalor and misery. Maybe not born in the ghetto, but it's a hard life. From a certain perspective, it looks like just another number for the census, just another mouth to feed, one more person born into the struggle of life in a fallen world. Who will this child be? Given that start to his life, what would you expect? It probably isn't a surprise that this child would die in the prime of life, less than 40 years old, only a few miles away from where he was born. In a way, his birth and his death go together. It might seem like a piece of tragic poetry. And the way he dies, a notorious death, condemned as a criminal, publicly shamed, and then executed. He entered the world naked, and he left in the same way. He came with nothing, and he ended with nothing. All those people in their homes when he was born, if they'd known what was coming, would they just have nodded their heads and said, "We're not surprised"? What do you expect for someone born into circumstances like that? We're not surprised. What do you expect? You are what you were born into. That's how it looks. That's how the world sees it. Honestly, that's how we see it. You can't escape your genes. You can't change your childhood. You don't get a do-over on those decisions you made. Maybe you can climb the ladder a little bit. Maybe you can scratch and claw your way to the top. Maybe a little luck will give you a boost. But then again, maybe not. No change, no future, no nothing. In fact, it would be worse than nothing if it were true. If that were the story of this child, if that were the story of us, it would mean darkness and not light. It would mean that we're stuck forever with our circumstances. It would mean that sin has a stranglehold that will never end. It would mean that death wins. What will this child be? He will not be another casualty. He will not be another victim. He will not be another notch in death's belt. He will not be swallowed up by the darkness. He will not be stuck in the circumstances of his birth or of his death. This is not the tragedy it first appears. Yes, he looks for all the world like any other child born into this world. He looks like you looked on the day you were born. And he is. True man born of the Virgin Mary. 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 eyes, 2 ears. But there's more to it than what you see, way more to it. There's more to his birth, and there's more to his death, and more for you too, if you would believe it. He's the reason why we're not stuck, and we're not condemned, and we're not eternally doomed to the circumstances of our birth, or our death, or our sin, or anything in between. What will this child be? Let the shepherds tell you. Of course, the shepherds weren't much to look at either. Their lives were difficult. Hard work, poor pay, lonely days, rough company at night. And yet, those are the first to hear the announcement of this child's birth. It's like this child came for them, and for those like them, and even for you. He came for all whose lives are difficult or dangerous. He came for those who struggle and suffer. He came for sinners and for the sick and the dying. He came to give light to our lives. He came to change our circumstances. He came to brighten our future. He came to make something out of nothing again, but even better this time. Who will this child be? Heaven opens. An angel appears. He's the one who gets to preach the first sermon on Christmas. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. You know those signs of his humility? Those marks of his lowliness? Those cloths of his poverty? That's how you'll know him. That's how you'll find him and mark him out. And suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord in his birth, as lowly as it was, and Christ the Lord in his death, as humiliating as that was. But it is not the story of a tragedy. This is the story of a romance, a comedy. A love beyond all loves for you and for me. This is Christ the Lord. He is the Savior who was born for those shepherds and who was born for you and me. He was the Savior who was born into those humbling circumstances to die that gruesome death that he might save you. His name is Emmanuel, God, who has come to be with us, Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. What we were born into, what we deserved, what we have earned by our own sin, he took upon himself. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. This is his love for you and for me. This is why he was born that night in those circumstances, and it is why he died that death in those circumstances. And then on the third day, he rose again from the dead. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a Savior has been born for us. A Savior has died for us, and a Savior even now lives and reigns for us. And this is why we can join our voices with the voices of the angels, not in a lament, but in praise. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. His life and his death were not a tragedy. They were love. The deepest, greatest love you could possibly imagine. A love for you in whatever you've been through, whatever you are going through now, whatever you might yet go through in the future. I know for some of you it's been a hard, a difficult year. And yet again tonight we gather, knowing that this child was born for us, that he is the Savior whom we need and who is promised. He is the one who comes to give us a new future, a bright hope, a life that will never end. Sin is taken away by this child. Death has lost its sting by his death, and the devil has no power left. That's what Christmas means. That's what the birth of Christ is. It is the birth of your Savior and mine. God in our human flesh, who came to be your Lord. This night he would be your Lord again. He would claim you as his own, and he would give you all the gifts that he won by his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. Unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Let us rejoice, let us laugh, let us sing, and let us look to the future that he brings. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
We confess our faith. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who hath redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true.
Thank you.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Let us pray. O God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through your grace, once again, we celebrate our Savior's birth. We stand in your presence with holy joy because you have fulfilled the promises you made. The promises you made to our first parents after the fall, to the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to Moses and the prophets, and to all your ancient people who waited for the salvation of Israel. Accept, we pray, our humble tribute of praise and thanksgiving, and grant that through your Son's birth, all of us here may be born again in our spirits to the blessed future of everlasting life. O Jesus, Son of God, we bless you for becoming flesh of our flesh and for making us rich beyond thought with overwhelming gifts from the treasures of your grace. You have made reconciliation for all our sins, so that now we have peace with God and entrance to the Father. You became the Son of Man to make us children of God in you. Give us all a pure childlike faith to adore you in your lowliness, and give us grace to see the glory shining through the veil of your humanity, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Speak to us the words of life, that we may love you as you have loved us. Be our light in darkness, our plenty in need, and our ever-present help in trouble. And as you descended from heaven to earth to save us, give us power to ascend from earth to heaven to the glory of your great and awesome name. O Holy Spirit, we praise you for your comfort and guidance. Turn our hearts to ponder deeply on the sublime mystery of God's birth as man, and help us to embrace our Redeemer in true faith as our most precious possession. Fill our hearts with his peace, his comfort, his life, and his joy. Let us celebrate this feast so that when it ends, we will, with your blessing on us, take up again the burdens of our different callings, rejoicing in our salvation and delighting to do your will. O holy triune God, who would rather be praised for mercy than for justice, we glorify you, for you have turned your eyes toward the lowly. Let your covenant of peace endure forever, so that we may rejoice in you now and in the endless world to come. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Amen. Amen.